This is VOA News. I'm Richard Green. Ukrainian and Russian forces gave competing reports late Sunday about the status of the eastern Ukrainian city of Bakhmut, the site of months of fierce fighting between the two sides. The head of Russia's paramilitary Wagner Group said his forces had raised a Russian flag over the administration building in Bakhmut and had taken control from a legal point of view. Ukraine's military says Russian forces were continuing to assault Bakhmut, but that Ukrainian troops were courageously holding the city as they repel numerous enemy attacks. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said in his nightly address Sunday that the situation in Bakhmut was especially hot. Well-known Russian military blogger Vladlen Tartarsky was killed by a bomb blast in St. Petersburg cafe on Sunday. It appeared to be the second assassination on Russian soil of a figure closely associated with the war in Ukraine. St. Petersburg governor says 25 people were wounded in the blast and 19 of them being treated in a hospital. Russia's state investigative committee said it had opened a murder investigation. Saudi Arabia and other major oil producers say they will cut production by more than 1 million barrels per day through the end of this year. AP correspondent Mimi Montgomery reports.
Shortly after a Saudi announcement on planned production cuts by 500,000 oil barrels per day until the year end, various other major producers, including the UAE, Iraq, Algeria, and Kazakhstan, are informing they'll make similar but smaller reductions for a total of 1.15 million barrels daily. The surprising moves could bring an increase in oil prices globally and strain relations with the U.S. Higher oil prices can benefit Russian President Vladimir Putin in his war on Ukraine and force Americans and others to pay even more at the pump amid inflation partly fueled by that war. I'm Mimi Montgomery.
And this is VOA News. In a television interview Sunday, Joe Tacopina, the attorney for former U.S. President Donald Trump, told ABC's This Week that he will devise a legal strategy once he reads the indictment handed down last week by a grand jury in New York City.
We're way too early to start deciding what motions we're going to file or not file, and we do need to see the indictment and get to work. I mean, look, Tuesday's just the beginning.
Two people familiar with the matter have told the Associated Press that Trump is facing multiple charges of falsifying business records, including at least one felony offense. He will be formally arrested and arraigned Tuesday in the case for allegedly paying a porn star to keep quiet about an affair. He will be the first ex-U.S. president to be indicted in a criminal case. A landslide killed at least 19 people in the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo on Sunday. VOA's Joe Ramsey has that story.
Residents and local officials in the region said at least 19 people had died in the landslide, with the search for more victims continuing Monday. A local administrator said around 25 mothers with their children had been doing laundry in a stream at the foot of a mountain when the ground gave way, burying some of them. A man who had lost his sister gave a similar account and said the landslide had occurred during heavy rains. Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
Iranian state media said the foreign ministers of Iran and Saudi Arabia spoke by telephone Sunday evening and agreed to meet each other in the coming days. The exact time and place for the meeting between Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian and his Saudi counterpart Prince Faisal bin Farhan al-Saud was still to be determined, according to the state-run IRNA news agency. Tehran and Riyadh cut diplomatic relations in January 2016 after the attacks of supporters of the Iranian government on Saudi diplomatic centers in Tehran and Mashhad. The two countries agreed to resume relations last month in an agreement mediated by China. Linda Burney, Australia's Minister for Indigenous Affairs, said Monday a great sadness had settled on the nation after the passing of Yunupingu, one of Australia's most influential Indigenous leaders.
He fought with a passion for his people, for land, for identity, and he loved this country.
His family said the 74-year-old Yunupingu died on Monday, months before a referendum on whether to recognize the community for the first time in the country's constitution. The indigenous leader was involved in having traditional ownership documents recognized for the first time by Australia's parliament. For more on this and all the stories we're covering, visit us at voanews.com. I'm Richard Green reporting for VOA News.